do a hakdama to the sugya a little bit to clarify a few points. The world of muks is a fascinating world. It's one of the probably the most gemaras at the Shabbos in any one topic discusses hitzah. But after that, probably with all of the different applications of hitzah. But after that, probably the most common, most ubiquitous gemara is the gemara about muksa. It continues into Masechtas Beah as well. Okay, there are two types of muksa. There's two sugyas of muksa. Primary sugyas of muksa. There's one which is the sugya in later on in the Masechta, in Kolei Kelim, where the Gemara introduces the concept of muksa was instituted by Nechemya, that Chazal instituted the concept of muksa. And that's one sugya, and that's Klishim Latulis or Klishim Latulahetter. Certain cases discussed over there as well, and that's really one sugya. There's a sugya which we're going to start with now, which is not that sugya, which is not muksa, which was imposed from different kinds of Chazal, but the muksa which is over here. So the muksa over here, the Gemara in Beya, ties the sugya muksa into the pasuk of Bahoya Bayam Hashishi Behechino Shesher Yaviyu. That pasuk is really talking about the issue of using something on Shabbos. It has to be mukhan to be able to use it on Shabbos. The truth of Shemikra is not referring to that baklal, it's referring to how to deal with the mon, etc. But the more learns it out over there, it's possibly either a deraisa or an asmachta. Why is it relevant? The Gemara over there seems to be machmer me sofik in a case of sofik on mukser for tashmish or for achila, sofik achila, you're machmer. You don't say the regular rule of sofik about the kula. So there, the gigan on the side says, because since it has an asmachta, it's more chomer. And the Mashah says that same shadow test over there also, since it has an asmachta, it's more chomer. Kimagadim in his psicha brings us down the maisa that the different madrigas of the Rabbanon, which has an asmachta, is more chomer. You don't say sefer the Rabbanon the kula. That's talking about muksa for usage. So if a person would want to eat muksa, something which is muksa regards to achila, or regards to tashmish, atzei muksa regards to using them to make a fire on Yom Tov. So that's tashmish, that using it for that purpose, using it, that's asmachta. To use something on Shabbos, it has to be mukhan and ready to use before Shabbos. So the opposite of muksa is mukhan. Mukhan means it's prepared for usage. Muksa means that the person has taken out of his intent to use. That which you'll find in the Masechta, the more discusses Rav Shimon Islay Muksa, Rav Shimon Leslay Muksa, that's discussing this type of Muksa. So Rav Shimon agrees to Klishim Latulisa, that's the Takana which the Nechemya, or the more goes to different stages of who exactly was Masakinit, which is imposed on Klai, so by the Chachamim, Rav Shimon has no problem with that. That's not his issue. There's this other din of Muksa, which Chazal came along and said that once it's true regards to Tashmish, you know what? Tiltal also is going to be also. That's me Rabbanan. Savan Muksa regards to Tiltal is a regular Rabbanan. Savan Rabbanan the Kula. There's a difference between Muksa, Lagabi, usage and regards to Achila. That's one then over there. And this is regards to Tiltal. 90% of what you're discussing Muksa and Masechta Shabbos is Muksa for Tiltal, not for usage. I'm saying 90% because I there's one a few cases. I'm like the percentage is not exact. Now, so there's that muksa over here. There's a muksa over here. We say that to use for Shabbos, you need to have it should be it has to be designated for use for Shabbos. So there's a muksa in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What that means? So Rabbi Yehuda means that you have to have had active intent to use it. So if a person planned to use it, that's something which you can use on Shabbos. Someone which a person not planning to use on Shabbos, so you can't use it on Shabbos. Gemara's, and you can't be metaltal. Once you can't use it, you can't be metaltal. Okay, so that's the Gemara says. Yehuda islay muksa, which means according to Yehuda, you need active hachana to make something usable on Shabbos. Certain things that's automatic because you're always using them, etc. So you plan to use it on Shabbos. That's called you have active hachana. Okay, so let's have an example. Kli schara. I have an example. We were talking before. I have a talis yarmulke tzitzis business in my basement. And I wake up Shabbos morning, I realize that my yarmulke, my kid decided to eat it while I was sleeping, and I have no yarmulke. I said, no problem, I have a yarmulke in the basement, so can I take that yarmulke and use it on Shabbos? Can I take that yarmulke? So according to Yehuda, I cannot, because since I set it aside for business purposes, and I do not plan to use it, so that yarmulke is muksa. There's no, right? Now, since the normal usage of this thing is for business purposes, which I'm not going to do on Shabbos, I set it aside for that purpose. So even though it's something which is really usable, there's yarmulkes that are not muksa, unless I had intent before Shabbos. You know, last Shabbos my kid ate my yarmulke. I better have in mind to use my yarmulke just in case, right? So, my dog ate my yarmulke. If you want to, it's okay. I'm trying to stay away from political statements. Right, so a person would have it in mind with intent to use it. So that then there's an intent to use it that would make it mukha. Rav Shimon works the other way around. Rav Shimon says Rav Shimon doesn't hold the mukha because since the back of my mind I always want to do, you know, it's something which I could use. So why not keep it in the back of my mind? I might want to use it. So according to Rav Shimon, it's the opposite. You need to be maksa it to make it not usable on Shabbos. The automatic assumption is that anything which potentially you could use is mukhan for Shabbos unless you're actively maksit. So according to Yehuda, you need some level of intent to use, and according to Rav Shimon, you need the daft intent not to use to make it muksa. So to me, Rav Shimon less than muksa. Let's say
it's after he brings the.
Okay, so that's the first machlok which the Morris is going to present over here. The Morris and then to discuss according to Rav Shimon, what is the level of haksua that a person is going to have. Now there's a second machlokes, Tina Yehuda and Rav Shimon, is in the concept called Migdis Katzar, the Ben Hashmash, is Katzar the Kuliyam. The pasuk says, "V'hoya b'yom Hashishi v'yachinu shesha yaviyu," that this hachon has to take place in Erev Shabbos. B'yom Hashishi. So if the beginning of Shabbos it's not ready to use, that's it. You can't use it. So if the idea that something should become mukhan, brand new thing, come mukhan on Shabbos. If you have a scenario of Noila, the more it discusses, if you hold Muksa, if you hold Noila, even Rav Shimon would agree to a Noila Gomer is Muksa. We'll get to that at some point in time. But Rav Shimon says anything is around on Yom Shishi, and there's potential to be able to use on Shabbos, so why should we max it out on it? Because we assume we want to use it. So a person lights a nair. Beginning of Shabbos, this nair is lit. It's lit with oil. It's also to move it because mechaba, because of mavir. So you're maksadas. But I know it's going to go out. And once it goes out, why not use whatever it's going to remain? So according to Shimon, that's not muksa. So even at the beginning of Shabbos, it was muksa. You're going the expectation that it's going to become usable on Shabbos, since that's an average expectation, that's the same thing. It's not less than the idea of having in mind that I might want to use my yarmulke from my basement. So if Shimon doesn't hold a migur, it's considered ben hashmash, it's considered kula yom. If the Gemara comes along and says, but there's a madrega, even if Shimon agrees to, then the expectation that it's going to become usable on Shabbos is so limited, even if Shimon agrees that that's going to come books. So what is that? So the Gemara says, for example, a person with light, with a light and there with a kais, a kar of a shosh, he lights this thing with a very large amount of oil. Chances are that it's going to last, be burning the whole Shabbos, and then it goes out. So that he didn't expect. So even if Shimon agrees that that's called the haksos. So the Gemara is going to say that according to Shimon, you need to be maksa b'yadayim. You have to do an action to make it muksa without an expectation this will become usable again. So you have two conditions. There's maksa b'yadayim and there's no expectation. So the Mor gives an example later on. The Mor says in the process of making grapes into raisins, you put it out to dry. During the process, they become inedible. And then they become edible again. So when a person takes his grapes and he puts them out into the field or onto the roof to dry, he's biadayim making them not available to use because they're going to become inedible. So it's biadayim, and it takes a period of time for it to happen. So he does not expect it to make it usable on Shabbos. So Mora says that Gargus and Smukim, Shimon is Moida, that they're going to be Muksa. Now that the sun came out more strongly than he expected, all of a sudden, wow, they became edible on Shabbos. Can he eat them? The Mora says no. Shimon says he can't eat them because you have, according to Shimon, even though he does not hold the Muksa ben Shmoshes, which means something which is not usable ben Shmoshes can become usable again on Shabbos, but not when you're Maksa biadayim. And you're not expecting it to become usable. So near your maksa biyadayim because you lit it, but you expect it to become usable. A case of karma shashi, the Mora says he's maksa biyadayim and he doesn't expect it to become usable. Okay. Just for we'll get to the halacha. This is way down the road, but right, we pass like a Rishimah by muksa for Shabbos. So Rishimah less than muksa. So we don't hold the muksa machmas. Me is the example the Mora talks about here. The person says, "Why should I maksa das? I might want to use it even so, right? Unless I actively have done something, which means saying I decide not to want to use it. I have das, but we hold it from Yehuda that migidus aside ben hashmoshes is something which is muksa according to Rishimah." Will remain muksa whether you like it or not. So that bechloikas. So there are two separate arguments: the argument of what level of haksa you need or hakhana you need to make something usable for Shabbos. Aleph. The days. There's a second sugya of migud is katsoy. We pass in regards to that, like Rabbi Huda. So it's very relevant. The sugya bosses. So beginning of Shabbos, I make something a bosses. I put, and now later on, it's no longer a bosses. But at the beginning of Shabbos, it was a bosses. It will remain with the status of a bosses the rest of Shabbos. Okay. So that's this. So that's this sugya over here of the sugya of what level of das is a person in, etc. That's because when the Mora is going to bring over here, the Mora and the Brisa brings four sheets. There's Rabbi Yehuda holds muksa. So even a muksa machmas mias is considered muksa. Rabbi Yehuda says I'm not into muksa machmas mias, but once you're madly with Shabbos semela, you say migus katzoy. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Shimon says I don't hold migus katzoy, but in case of kaiser shoshes, I do hold of it. And it comes with the Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Shimon says, you know what? I don't hold the muksa machmas mias. I don't hold migus katzoy. But even while the nair is lit, my father agreed that it is muksa. So that even that, no, that little stuff which might drip out, I have mind of that as well. Let's say something becomes muksa. Abina Shabbos was not muksa. Can it become muksa on Shabbos? So that's the Farish Gemara. That the main thing of that is begging the third parent. Something can become muksa on Shabbos. It means Abina Shabbos it was usable and then became not usable. So it becomes totally not usable. This is something which is becomes like Eitzim Abonim. It's not usable, so then it becomes Muksa. What will happen now if it becomes usable again? Does it revert back to the state of being Mucha? So that's what Machlokes the Masechta Zbeya. Yesh Muksa L'Chatzis Shabbos, Ein Muksa L'Chatzis Shabbos. Everybody agrees that it can become Muksa on Shabbos for a period of time. That's really the sugya of something which becomes totally unusable. It has a din like Eitzim Avadim. Eitzim Avadim, by definition, are muksa. But now it becomes usable again. So the old Yesh Musa Chatzis Shabbos, once it became unusable, it remained like that the rest of Shabbos. The old Ein Musa Chatzis Shabbos means, even though it's muksa for a period of time, once it's usable again, it becomes not muksa. We pass it Ein Musa Chatzis Shabbos. So something which beginning of Shabbos was usable, became not usable, becomes usable again, will revert back to become and be not muksa. There is a sugya of how you take something like Eitzim Avonim and make them usable. What level you need to make. So this is, you know, famous Shiloh with regards to how to throw stones at cars on Shabbos, right? Because stones are muksa, that's them. So it's very nice that they're screaming Shabbos to be muksa, but the nervous chazal from the stones which are muksa, right? So just be miyachad, and for that purpose, to throw is not sufficient. I want to get very, very clear. you need more than that. You'd have to miyachad at lo'olam for that purpose. So if I have my favorite rock, which I use as my paperweight on my desk, so that's fine. So that's not a muksa anymore. I change it from being a rock to being a paperweight. I use it as a doorstop. I want to use it one time as a doorstop. For this Shabbos, the whole Shabbos, that doesn't help me. If you do a maisha to change it, that's a different ballgame. So if they would get before Shabbos, they would actually they would trim the rocks or something like that. You know, that would be a different story, but okay. So in general, I'm not a big fan of that for other reasons, but that's besides the point. Okay. There are overlap between these two sugyas of muksa, obviously. You know, that we have this sugya of muksa, which is Adas, Adam, Ben Adam, what are you expecting, etc. But it's based on the concept that there's a need for Achana. Chazal made these Yisurma later on, and they sort of tied it into the world of, into this world as well. The klisha malat al iser, so its primary use is iser. So I'm not maktadas. If I need it for other purposes, I'll use it. So I'm not maktadas totally. But to mechano itzel, I'm not really thinking about. So if I want to move a klisha malat al iser because I need it for a heter purpose, isn't the hate? I want to use the hammer. I need the chair. Move the hammer. I want to use the hammer to crack open a nut. Move the hammer. If I want to move the hammer because I'm afraid the hammer is going to get damaged because it's sitting directly in the sun and the sun is going to cause the wood to split and it's not, I can't move it. Right? And the logic which the story over there says there's some level of I'm even though it's Krishna Lata Lisser, since there's heta usages, I'm not maksadas totally for those other usages. Right? So you know there's gonna they Chazal made this takana, but they used the rules of Das and how to set it up. That's why it's a sugya muksa, not a sugya called Takanas Chazal of Isser. The Rambam over there, when he discusses that is sort of muksa, he says that Chazal asked muksa because of a lesser, because of a concept of hitzua. Mashmos of Lashon Gemara. The Rambam has his other pshat as well. So the Rambam says the Betzim Chazal would like you not to move any kelim and jars because this way you're not going to care anything. By mistake. Right, but that would be very limiting for a person. So Chazal allowed certain things. So food and kisvei kodesh, you can move them as much as you want. Klisha malat leheter, there is a limit where you're allowed to move it for. Even klisha malat leheter, you can't move it when it has it's purposeless. Discussion in the poskim, playing with your knife, and that counts as purposeful. The Rav Hashulchan is matur, he calls it purposeful. Others say that that's not called purposeful, just playing with it. Am I getting involved in the political ramifications of that statement? But if it's purposeless, you know, let him move it. Oichlam and Kisvei Kodesh, you're allowed to move for any purpose, or even for no purpose. They're not mukhs at all. A fork, pashas, has the same din as that. Spoons, like some places can also. Your standard things that you always use for achila. But klisha malat leheter, you have to move it for a purpose. Klisha malat leheter, only for a purpose which is a purpose for you, not for the kli. And then there's muksim acham sasar and kiss. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says a fascinating thing about his understanding of klisha malat muksim acham sasar and kiss. Always assumes the klisha malat leheter to start with, which means the primary usage I'm not allowed to do. I can't write with this implement because it's also to use on Shabbos. It's also to write on Shabbos. I can't use my camera to take pictures. You can't take pictures on Shabbos. So the primary usage I cannot do is also to take pictures on Shabbos. What about other usages? I'm not maksadas them. Yes, I am, because it's so valuable. I would not want to use it for anything else because I don't want to get damaged. So, since the primary usage I cannot use for Shabbos, the other usages I refuse to use, I made it useless. So it becomes a muksa gomer, and that's klisha malat. That's the idea of muksa malat chasar and kiss. Let's say the primary usage is heter. So I have a very expensive kiddush cup. So I wouldn't use it for anything other than kiddush. But you ought to use it for kiddush because the primary usage is mutter. So how can it be muksa? Okay. What about a case of muksa that a maksa das and tiltel? And I'm maksadasim tashmish. I'm maksadasim tiltul. I have a painting on the wall. I have not moved it. I'm not a sheet of like holding, dusting anything and moving things. You know, it has not been moved for the last 10 years. I'm maksadasim tiltul. But the usage is for painting to make my house look good. Right? Is there such a muksa which is just the whole haksa is just from tiltul, not from tashmish, but just from tiltul? Because I have no intent to move it. So the Chazanish assumes yes. The Shabur does not have such a case. There is a Gemara which is mashmal like that in Eluk Shorim. There's a Gemara which talks about this very heavy type of thing which you would never move it because of its weight. Not because batsim you can't use it, etc. But because of its weight, you never would move it. There seems to be such a concept of muks, and that's really the discussion of where you apply that. So now the painting falls off the wall on Shabbos. My kid knocks it off. Can I put it back? It's a muks. Okay, put it back up. I'm not attaching anything. It's not attached. It's just hanging there, so it's not an issue of binyan, etc. The clock on the wall, these type of things, you know, which I never take down. You know, so would those have a din of muks or not? So the Chazanish holds such a concept of muksa, because you're maksadas and tilta. You don't expect ever to move it. So that's an interesting concept of muksa. So that's really where you have this the crossover from the sugi here, which is the yisoidus of the lomdus of muksa of mukhan, etc., into that world over there, which is the world of chazal limited tiltal for various different reasons. Potentially, I mean, a lot of it you move them for cleaning the house and you move it, you know. But those type of things, well, you know, if it would fall down, you might have a problem according to the Chazanish putting it back up. Okay. There's a Bala Mor by Klisha Malachta L'Isser. So Klisha Malachta L'Isser is Mutzah L'Sar, Kufa L'Sar Makar. So what's the lomdus? Even though the primary usage is Isser, but you're not Makadas, the other usage is. So the Tzar Gufo, I mean, I want to use the item for myself, I want to use the hammer to crack them up. That's a usage that I have for a hammer. I'm not Makadas, I'm not on the usage. So I'm not Makadas. Using a hammer to move this, being on the chair, now I need the hammer. That's not a usage of the hammer. Right? So if you have a Klisha Malata the Isser, which has no Hechlik Atash, there's no Hechlik Atash. There's nothing to do with it. Right? So let's say for argument's sake, you know, pencil. I don't know. There's very little you can do with a pencil. I don't know. You know, it's not a good paperweight because it's so light. It's not going to, you know, it's not really going to hold the weight when the wind's blowing, etc. So what am I going to do with it? You know, I want to use it as like a, you know, hold things on the bulletin board. You know, you probably can't do that on Shabbos either. Right? But there's a pencil sitting in the spot that I want to use it. So is there a musig of a heter of the tzarech mekaymai when there's no tzarech gufa? Or is the lumnus of the heter of tzarech mekaymai is this thing is not really muksa fully? Because even though Chazal asked it for the purpose of moving it for its primary usage, but since you have other usages, you're not maksadas, so it's not really muksa, so therefore you're allowed to move the tzarech mekaymai. That'd be a very nice lumnus. But if there's no tzarech mekaymai usage, there's no tzarech gufa usage, it's also tzarech mekaymai as well. That's the sheet of the Bala Mor. Ralamore says that the lumnus of what he's saying is that if there's no tzarech gufay, so betzim now it's hakam muksa. It's primary usage you may not do, and there's nothing else to do with it, so it's muksa. So now it's muksa. But it's like etzim abanim. It's like chasar and kiss. Therefore, you can't move it to tzarech makama. Mishmur does not quote this Ralamore at all. Rameshin Achuba says that the ma'isa, you should be chashish for the sheet of the Ralamore and the chachila, unless you don't have it's difficult, etc. You should be kosher the sheet of the Balamor. So he's kosher for that lumnus. L'chara, the Cholkim, Mishabur doesn't bring it. Ramesh does not mention anywhere. The Cholkim seem to learn that it's the Heyois Klisha Malachal Leisr, that it's an Isr of Tiltal. It was Tzkanas Chazal. And the Yeshiv and the Sikhs of Gemara that originally Chazal Aser, you know, they made things very Aser, and then they scaled back. People needed to be, so there are matters, certain things. So there are matters, it's not a bit of das, it's a bit in in. Yes, they use the lomnism of swars of das, etc. The betzim chazal remat the sarach gufay and sarach makayma. So there's no sarach gufay, there's still sarach makayma, and it's going to be mutter. Sarach makayma really is an interesting idea that it should be mutter. So that seems to be machlokas later on. We'll get to that after Pesach. What the lomnism of sarach gufay with sarach makayma is, but just bring it in now. You see that there's a logic how to connect the two sugyas. There's a lomnism of not being maxadas, etc. And then the alamor would make a lot of sense. That doesn't make sense in the case that there's no sarach gufay. There's no practical sarach gufay. There's not going to be a hetter of sarach makayma either. Okay, that's the points I wanted to share with you off the top of my head. Just in the practical, the way the sugya went. This is really the meat of the sugya of this lomnus of the machlokes Yehuda and Rishim and etc. These blot over here, the blot which we skipped, deals with a concept of bittul klei mechonoi that Chazal Asur making something muksan shabbos. So A, you see that sugya is assuming you can make something muksan shabbos. And then we're saying, oh, now Chazal Asur it because it's some way that's either going to be lomnus of it's like you're breaking the kli, or it's like you're being mechaber the kli to the ground, whatever the lomnus is, right? But Chazal Asur bittul klei mechonoi. And then what's called a real bittul klei mechonoi, you know, you're able to move it a certain ways, etc. And there's a sugya over here where the more talks about it, that Chazal made certain kulas, they made halachic fictions to matter tilta muksa in a case of necessity. Mesa muta b'chama, so mesa is muksa. You have no usage for it. So mesa is muksa. It's sitting in a situation where it's going to, because of the heat, etc., you need to get it out of the sun. So Chazal made halachic fictions of how to move it, and that gets involved in the sugya of tilta min hatzad. Now this is not the primary sugya of tilta min hatzad, or at least it's one of the sugyas of tilta min hatzad. All these cases we're talking about, the idea of tilta means direct tilta. So there's tilta min hatzad, which means what's called indirect tilta, and then there's tilta b'gufa. Tilta b'gufa, according to Shapura, according to Magen Avraham, etc., is not also. Chazal did not also tilta b'gufa. All these three tilta are only with your hands, or your hands using something. So if I pick up a table and there's mooks on the table wasn't a bosses. So I pick up the table and there's mooks, I'm being metal to the mooks also. I'm being metal to the table and the mooks. I'm not touching the mooks, but I'm being metal to the mooks. That's us. Right? But if I move it with my body, so that's not a mice of tilta b'chua. So moving the table and the mooks are coming along is called tilta min hatzad. Tilta min hatzad is called tilta that if my goal is the muksa, it's awesome. Tilta min hatzad, the tzar gavra muksa is awesome. Tilta min hatzad, the tzar gavra hamutter, I need the table somewhere else, and the muksa just coming along for the ride, is mutter, but you have a key to get the muksa off if possible. So that's the din of, so you should shake it off. We're just going to touch on Mem Gimel Beis. That's like a whole different sugya. That's why I didn't want to get stuck on that. That's not the primary place to start muksa. You know, what type of tiltal is asr, what type of tiltal is mutter. It's a whole sugya. It's a fascinating sugya. It's an important sugya. We got to learn the sugya. But I didn't want to start with that. So I want to start with this. This will carry us for about two blot. We will touch on the sugyas of buses as well. And then we'll have to go back. So, Bez Hashem, that's the mahalach. Okay.